Discipline is for weaklings. I knew you'd like that. Discipline is for weaklings. Only weaklings need to be disciplined to learn discipline. People who are strong discipline themselves and train themselves and stand behind themselves and don't have to be reminded to follow the discipline that they've agreed to follow. But the weaklings, they're the ones who want everything, want to claim everything, want to be everything, want to say they're wonderful, want to say that they're top dogs, and they want to rush into their spiritual program, into their life work and stuff like that, and they don't follow the rules to do it. And it's like the children who go to school and say, I don't like my teacher, and I don't like the lessons we're learning, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. And of course, then you think that they're either stupid or they have bad teachers, and neither is true. They have good teachers, it's just that the teachers don't know how to teach them. Teaching recalcitrant students, I like that word, huh? Teaching recalcitrant students, students who are not eager to learn, untractable students. If you're tractable, you learn easily. If you're untractable, you are difficult to teach, intractable. And so working with that kind of a student, it makes the chore of the teacher all the more difficult, because the teacher has to watch that the student does what they're supposed to do. If a student does what they're supposed to do without being watched, then they learn so much faster. But when the students are spending all their time trying to get around the teacher and get over the teacher and fool the teacher and mess things up for themselves, then the teacher finally gives up and says, if you don't learn, go home. There's no way I can teach you. I'm here to share with you if you want to learn, but if you don't want to learn, go home. So in many schools of philosophy, in many ashrams, I don't want to say the word students, potential students are kicked out on their behind very fast. Sai Baba has a kick-out rate of at least 200 a day. People who come there thinking they know it all and that they don't have to participate with the rules, they don't have to sit with it, they don't have to wait in line, they don't have to do these things. And so he has a group of people that usher them right off the grounds, very seriously. And when people are there and they've been there many times and they feel they know it all and they talk during the time of quietness, he has them ushered from the grounds. There's no second chance. And their names are remembered by the guards who do not let them come back in. Because those who want to learn the spiritual path from Sai Baba or anyone else must cooperate with the program that each teaches. Otherwise, it is a useless pattern for the teacher to share with the students. If the kids don't want to learn in school, they're taken to the principal's office. And the principal is told, hey, there's nothing wrong with the student. He just has a mind of his own and he wants to play games in class and he disrupts the rest of the class. Put him in the underachiever class. And so immediately he goes to the underachiever class and he finds himself with a bunch of dolts down there who have no personality, who have no desire to learn because they're learning at their highest rate. And he immediately marks time and gets back into his proper class and respects the lessons that are given to him, because he doesn't want to be with those people who are underachievers, because he's not an underachiever, or she is not. It's not only the boys. It's not only the boys. There's the girls, too. So, when we are here at the monastery, we are given some simple little rules, and the simple little rules are so beautiful that we should all just praise the God inside of us that they are no more difficult. One of the rules is we do not send mail to students of the university without approval from Ellen or myself or whoever is president. And we do not do that. And the reason we do not do that is because we want to know what is being said to the students. even if you're a relative of the student, even if you're a friend of the student, even if you're giving a chatty quality to it. We don't do that. We are not a chatty place here. We are not a place where people can call, like this lady from Florida who calls regular and talks our ear off and uses our 800 number to sit and chat with us on discussing the weather and the Twin Tower events and so forth. We're not here for that. We're here strictly for business. And if you want to play games, we have playtime. But during business time, during work time, during study time, it's strictly for business. And the rule says you follow it. Now, if this is not suitable for all of you, and I know it is, but if it's not suitable for you, then make sure you let us know right away. Because we are not forcing anyone to do anything. We are just like Sai Baba. He says, here's the house rules. You go in, shut up! You don't talk to your neighbor when you sit down in the prayer chamber at Sai Baba. You don't talk to your neighbor when you go into any one of these other organizations and sit in their activities. You shut up. Keep your mouth closed. And if you don't, you're out. And when you're in the meditation techniques of the Hindus or other groups, they have a long stick with a rock on the end. And they'll tap you on the shoulder first to remind you that you're falling asleep or something worse. And then if you continue to fall asleep, they clock you on the head with a rock. And then it wakes you up, and then they go like this. Come out. Because, you see, a sleeper is a rotten apple. A sleeper, when one person falls asleep, everyone has a tendency to yawn. You know, one yawn, and everyone has a tendency to yawn. That's something you cannot afford. I was falling asleep here while John was telling a story the other night, and at Christmas time. And I thought I was extremely discourteous, and I was. But I was falling asleep. I should have gotten up and gotten out of there. I would wake up a little bit, and I'd see the kids looking at me and sort of snickering and saying, look, he's falling asleep. The old man's falling asleep. Isn't that something? Isn't that strange? Because they don't look at the young person who falls asleep and say, look, the young person falling asleep. They say, the old man's falling asleep. I should have gotten out as a courtesy to all of you and left the room rather than dozed off in front of you, because that's the discourteous thing to do. We have no rule saying one thing or another in this regard, but we do have a rule which says, if you're going to attend the courses, attend the lectures, pay attention. And then we say, if you have a tendency to fall asleep, we don't say get out, we say start knitting. And if you don't think of starting knitting, then get out. But don't do this in front of others. It's not a pleasant thing to do. It's not something that is going to make you ingratiated in front of others. Now, why are these rules important? Because discipline is for weaklings. People who are strong, who know what they're doing and know their path, they don't have to be reminded. I don't want to use any of you as an example, but you know who I'm talking about. This person sits and looks you straight in the eye while you're talking. This person sits and looks you straight at during your entire lecture, however boring it may be, or however wonderful it may be. This person gives you a feeling of confidence, a feeling of caring about you while you're speaking. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to do? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we each did that for each other as the speaking was going on, as each of you give a talk, instead of drifting off and letting your head nobble down on your chest, just be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And if you can't be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, take some toothpicks and put it between your eyelids, you know, and shove them open. But seriously, this is, if I said to you, all right, here it is. Now, the person who acts upon this first gets it. Right outside the door, you know the story, is a carpet. And the carpet is over some soft dirt. And in the soft dirt is a rock. But there are six rocks. Now, each one of you, six people, have the privilege of going out and picking up a rock privately. And then you come back in. And then the next person, and you put the rock back in place. Then the next person goes out and picks it up. Now, the one of you who is intuitive enough to know under which rock, and you look under only one, under which rock there is a $20,000 bill, you keep it. Now, would you be wide awake and would you be waiting, my turn, oh boy. And seriously, it's there. And you know, most of you would not find it. Most of you would not find it. You know why you wouldn't find it? Because you're so sure of yourself, and the longer you sit here, the more guesses you have. The right corner, the left corner, and you don't follow your first thought. You haven't disciplined yourself. But that's not my story. My story here is that that sort of an activity would keep you on your toes. It would keep you alert. It would keep you awake. It would keep you aware of what's going on around you. And now, Klaus Peter is going to take his final activities in the Ayurvedic training courses. And if he falls asleep during the courses, do you think they're going to graduate him? Not at all. If he falls asleep during the courses, they don't want him having a graduation diploma from their organization saying that he knows these things, because they doubt that he knows these things because he was asleep. Now, if he's awake and he's sitting there like this, you know, his eyes propped open, they also would be doubtful. But if he has a flexible face, a flexible attitude, if he is self-disciplined, then that's very evident, and everyone will throw certificates at him saying, yes, you are alert, yes, you are good. Hans Erle was that way, remember? Hans Erle would sit in our seminars, and he'd sit there like this here, totally aware, and write down everything we say and have a tape recorder recording everything we say. You know, because he was starting up his own school, and he wanted to have a course for it. And so he came to all of our courses and took them down, and then he taught them. And I think that's wonderful. I mean, I don't care who teaches our courses. I think that's wonderful. Whoever teaches our seminars, if you think my seminars are so good that you want to repeat them, go for it. That's wonderful. But he was wide awake because he had motivation. And he and his wife, who also attended the courses and who also took notes, they are running a school, and they're still using the courses. And beautifully. And I say, go for it. Go for it. Do what you want. Then he felt so guilty, he changed his name. But you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that. I had no rule that you couldn't take everything that I said and take it and make it yours. I want you to do that if you want to. If anything I say is important or valuable to you, take it and make it yours. And use it however you wish. But discipline is for weaklings. Discipline is for the weak student who isn't able to maintain a discipline for himself. The program here is disciplined. We put our dishes away in the sink after each meal. We carry them there ourselves. We do not serve things that are not approved. We follow the rules on everything we do, and it's wonderful. And sometimes you may think, well, hey, I want to do my own thing on this. I want to cook my own recipe. I want to use my own device on this. Well, ask for permission, and you'll get it. Ellen says yes to everything. She says, I say yes to everything. She says yes to everything. I do say yes to everything. But you want to do it without permission, because, God damn it, you're not going to need permission from somebody to do what you want to do and what you know how to do. You know how to say that? Yes, that's how they say that. Nobody's going to tell me how to make my potatoes and how to cook my thing. I'm going to do it my own way, because I know how to do this. I don't need someone's permission to do it. Well, that's okay. You can go ahead and do that. But why make yourself so unhappy? Why not just have a little humility? And go to Ellen and say, this is what I'm planning. Any suggestions? And Ellen say, sounds good to me. But you see, children are that way. They don't want to go and get permission. They'd rather run outside and run around the corner and do whatever they want to do without permission, because it makes it that much more tantalizing, that much more exciting to do it without permission. And then they go home, and if their parents don't know that they've done it, because they didn't have their radar turned on. Then you, I got away with it. Oh, boy. And then you're going to get away with it the next time, and away with it the next time. And pretty soon, you're going to be unruly, undisciplined, and unhappy, and you're not going to accomplish your goal. That's enough garbage for today. I've given you the statement, discipline is for weaklings. And you know that's true. And I don't believe we have a weakling among us. In fact, I know you're all super. You're all strong. And you're all fantastic. And I love you enough to say all these things to you. So there.